How can even a small business put carbon reduction and the kindness economy at the heart of its success?
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. I hope you are enjoying our new focus. If you've not yet heard about that, we are, as always, here to share how other retailers and brands are growing their stores. But we're also now putting a big emphasis on how we can all help the world whilst doing that, mainly in terms of slowing global warming, but we're also interested in how we run our businesses and market to our customers can lead to other great things too. I, probably like you, am on a journey to try and work out what we should be doing and how. I do not have by any means all the answers yet, but we're going to find them together. So do expect more clarity over the coming months and lots of inspiring interviews too. If you flick back to episode 359, you'll find the full ins and outs of what we're up to. But stick here for now, because in today's episode, we've got a brilliant example of how you can build carbon reduction and the kindness economy into even the smallest of businesses. My guest also shares some great examples of how they shout about what they're doing and use that to increase their overall sales. An inspiring chat coming up. Before we get to that though, please do check out our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the email and SMS marketing platform that helps you send messages like an e-commerce expert, even if you're just getting started. Create your free account at klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. Did you know that over 700,000 active stores are now using Wix e-commerce? From fresh startups right through to D2C seven-figure superstar brands like Ruby Love and Davinia Water. Recent success story, House of Supplies, built their e-commerce store on Wix in just 2 days, and just 7 days after that had hit online sales of over $300,000 with just three products on sale. Fancy a bit of that? Well, Wix is clearly a platform that can enable your growth and success. Go to wix.com/e-commerce/website today to join over 700,000 active stores selling worldwide with Wix e-commerce. And now to introduce today's special guest. Hepsi Godin is co-founder of Martha and Hepsi, a quirky illustrated homeware, gifts and stationery seller that she founded with her sister way back in 2011. 10 years on, they now do 300 orders per month. Hello, Hepsi.
Hi.
It's great to have you here. Thank you very much, A, for applying to be on, and B, booking in and being here, because what you guys are up to is really cool and I'm looking forward to sharing it with the audience. Before we get into that though, all that way back in, 2011, how did you end up getting into e-commerce?
Basically, we were both a bit disillusioned in our jobs. I did a fashion degree in business studies and ended up in marketing. And Martha did a textile degree and ended up in merchandising. And it was just, we were like on the rat run doing working, being a bit disillusioned with our jobs, kind of like wanting to do something different. I was on maternity leave. So we basically did it as a 5 to 9, almost like a therapy compared to our like normal jobs, because we could do what we wanted to do. But Martha lives, well, she did live in London, but she now lives in Sheffield and I live in Devon. So technology was a huge part of us starting. We couldn't do it without technology. And e-commerce was our launch platform, basically. We couldn't have started without it.
Because back in 2011, just when people were starting to actually do, rather than talk about, remote working and remote teams.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, like, we've been doing it for a decade, and the looks and comments that we've had over the past decade of like, you live in Devon and she lives in Sheffield, yet you run your own business. I'm like, well, yeah, like, loads of big businesses do it. They like are based in the UK and have manufacturing in the Far East or whatever. So why can't I run a little business with my sister who lives like at the other end of the country? So, and now it's normal. So
yes, over the last couple of years, it's normal. It's what we all do now, whether we want to or not. Although that made it sound like I don't want to. I love remote working. Anyway, we could go off on that one. Because of that remote setup, e-commerce was obviously going to be the way to go, not at your own boutique or a physical store.
No.
It would have been quite hard to man it, wouldn't it, if you were...
Well, and also we would have doubled any outgoings. So, like, because originally we were like, right, okay, we want to support our local economies. We'll go to local trade shows. So we went to Harrogate and we went to one in Exeter. And basically, yeah, we would have duplicated our outgoings before we'd even started. And actually, we didn't have masses in the bank to be able to sort of like start all of that. So I would come home from work and build our like little Mr. Site website and put our stuff on Etsy and everything like that. And it was a window, a shop window for us to be able to say hello. That's the why we did it. We couldn't have started the business otherwise. Well, we could have, but it wouldn't have given us enough exposure. We would have been kind of quite parochial, is that the word? And like stuck to like Devon and Sheffield.
And how long was it before you went full time?
Well, I was made redundant in, I think, 2013. So
it's about 2 years.
Yeah. Mm. And to be honest, it was the best thing that ever happened. Because I think like, it's horrific going through redundancy because you're all a bit like, ugh. But, and then Martha was made redundant as well, like within 6 months of each other. So if we hadn't have had that kind of kick, I think we could have kind of like continued just to play with it, mm-hmm. and fought with like which was more important, the job that is bringing the money in or the thing that's actually our passion. So yeah, full time. But saying full time, we've still kind of like, as with most female founders, kind of children involved. My husband decided to retrain from a mental health nurse to a teacher. So like, it's never like had our full attention. There's always kind of slight distractions.
Yeah, because there's the time distractions and there's the brain distractions. And
yeah,
impossible. Or not impossible, just life, isn't it? Yeah. So Hepsi, you mentioned, you know, initially it was your own website and it was Etsy. What platforms are you selling on now?
We are still on Etsy. Our website is Shopify, based on Shopify. Then we are not on the high street, Jewels. That's the four main kind of platforms. Then we do wholesale on Fair. And we have like a little shop. Well, we don't have a shop. It's a cooperative in Sheffield, which is kind of like our shop window. It's not massive, but we've got part of it. And Martha works there a few days a month as well.
Oh, excellent. And you mentioned Fair, and I think you're the first person on the podcast who we've spoken to about Fair, who I got to interview on a different podcast and think is an awesome business. So could you just tell us a quick soundbite on what Fair is and why you're using it?
Fair is basically a wholesale platform where we always wanted to wholesale certain products that we can make money and retailers can make money on. But I've always found it quite difficult to kind of get out there and for the retailers to be able to process their orders. And Fair as a website, we basically put all the products that we want to wholesale on it, and retailers can find us, order, they have 60 days to pay. Yep, they like we get paid 30 days, and it's a very simple process. Whereas before, we've done trade shows, which is an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get orders. And then we've tried to do the sales thing where we sort of like a certain amount of time a month is allocated to us actually contacting retailers. And to be quite honest, we're not brilliant at doing that. So that didn't work. Like, jack of many trades, but not very good at that one. And so Fair as a platform, it's incredibly sleek. You just upload whatever you want to do. You basically recreate a wholesale website for your brand, and it just generates the orders, and it's global as well, so you're being seen by international stockists, whereas before, like, if international stockists went to somewhere like Top Draw, we'd be lucky. It's just brilliant. It's made our wholesale world a lot easier.
Looking at it and having had an explore of it myself, I struggle to see why anyone running a small boutique would ever go to Top Draw or Autumn Fair, etc. again, to source products. And I think as they start taking on that online product sourcing, it's only going to grow, and bigger companies are going to be using it. I think it's a really exciting development in the marketplace. So thank you for mentioning it and for explaining it so well as well. And anyone who's trying to Google it right now, it is F-A-I-R-E. So slightly odd spelling, F-A-I-R-E. Right. So where in the world are you and where are you selling to?
I am based in North Devon in the UK, and Martha is based in Sheffield, and we sell all over the world. So
nice and straightforward. And the product that you're selling, tell us a bit about the product.
Okay, so we design colourful homeware, stationery and gifts, which is all made in the UK. Ever since we started, it was everything had to be made in the UK. I'd watched a Mary Porterhouse documentary on Kinky Knickers, where she was wanting to get the industry back up and running, and like the lace industry in Nottingham, and looking back at that industry that Britain has lost. And I also worked in a jewellery company where all the manufacturing was done in the Far East. And I was aware that if we were a small business, that lead times of 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and the cost of getting our product from the Far East to the UK it wouldn't work for us, basically. We didn't have the money to put thousands of units on the water, and we also didn't know whether that we could sell thousands of units. So we made the decision to source all UK suppliers.
I think we may well come back to that later, because that's it's a big old decision and has lots of ramifications and lots of plus points too. But we'll come back to that shortly. We've done the platform that you sell on. So the team, is it still you and your sister doing everything? How do you divide the roles, and how is it working with your sister?
Okay, so Martha and I are the main people in the business. Martha is the main illustrator so that we can have continuity of our designs. We kind of work on together on product development and what we want to do, and then she illustrates and we put together the colorways and everything like that. With regards to kind of like other processes in the business, we have got a warehouse which is based in North Devon, so all our product goes into the warehouse, and it's sort of like we have a pick and pack thing. With regard, then there's emails or the photography. Martha does most of the photography, I do the emails, I manage the website. Yeah, it's kind of like we do everything. Again, we made the decision that because it was such a small business, if we employed someone, because of the flux of sales, sometimes we would end up paying an employee more than we would be able to take from the business, and it just wasn't going to work with that. So we are having the warehouse means that we can scale really quickly as well, because they've got a workforce. So when we worked with John Lewis, they were like, they're ready, bam. And they could deal with like all the
crazy requests that come from a big retailer.
And I've got a home office, that can be, I can do everything that I need to do from home most of the time, and then I can go to the warehouse. Whereas before we had the warehouse, there was just stock everywhere and it was a bit of a mess. And so that we can deal with that. And then Martha has a studio in Sheffield. So she goes to sort of like work there, predominantly split between us two. And then we have a warehouse, and then we kind of we're on lots of different forums so that we can kind of get all the information, but we kind of like muddle through it ourselves, really.
I think that that's kind of what every business does to some extent. And it's the joy of the e-commerce space, I think, enabling you to take that bootstrapping route where you can remove the things that tie you down week in, week out, like full-time staff and like the pick, pack and dispatch, to put your time on the higher value items. And, you know, and then when tools like Fair, as we mentioned, come along, and other marketplaces like Etsy, you can have that that showcase to the wider world without having to man a stand for a week at a gift fair or at a trade fair. So I think it, you know, like you said, you couldn't have done the business if it wasn't e-commerce. I think it being e-commerce has enabled you to become the business you are, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are going forward as the business develops, I think kind of like you get a bit attached to it. And I have over the past sort of like 12 months, quite a big mindset shift. And there are elements that I'm now quite happy to sort of give to someone else if we can like afford it, or we've streamlined systems as well, whereas before we were like keying orders, and actually that's not a good time for us to do that. We should, so now we've got a system where it just automatically feeds into the warehouse, so we're not wasting our time. And I suppose it's about, you can kind of become a bit consumed with all of the business, and you have to kind of have a bit of a holistic view and go, actually, should you be doing that? No. Can you sort of like either streamline it or give it to someone that it doesn't impact you as a kind of cash flow and profit, but enables you to be able to do what you're better at for longer and make more of an impact?
Yeah, I've always found myself that if I'm becoming a bit run down in a business, I end up feeling really attached to the tasks that I know are doing something.
Yeah.
So getting a bit exhausted. I'm rekeying an order. I know this needs to be done.
Yeah.
This is something good to be done. I can't possibly outsource it because it's giving me a feeling of self-worth.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas the solution to the underlying problem of being worn out and doing all the wrong things, all the rest of it, is actually to go, right, yeah, I'm getting a little bit of self-worth every time I rekey an order. But if I can automate that, I get 2 hours a week back.
Yeah.
That I can either spend sitting on the sofa going for a walk or something, or doing something that grows the business. So then everything becomes better. But it's a weird kind of contradiction that often the things you should be doing the least are the ones, like a lot of businesses hold on to the pick, pack and dispatch because it feels like very productive work, even though it's probably the last thing you should be doing as the owner.
Yeah, like standing in a line in the post office isn't good for you. And actually, I have to like tell myself, I switch my laptop off, I go downstairs, I'll either listen to a podcast, read a book, and actually reading a book, of a business book or a mindset book or a strategy book is far better than me sitting at my laptop, staring at screens going, "Why? Where's the orders? What am I doing?"
Like, yeah, the endless refresh.
Yeah, totally. No, how many people are on the website?
Yeah, we've all been there. So I said we'd come back to the fact the majority or all your products are manufactured in the UK, which, as you explained, was originally because you could do short run, slow lead times. It gave you the flexibility. I believe now, you know, based on your marvelous Our Values page, which, huge kudos for that. I am a regular listener to the podcast, where I regularly rant about the lack of an About Us page on our website. I'm also, as of our new focus on sustainability, etc., I am now going to be ranting about the lack of a page that explains your approach to sustainability, values, net zero, whatever you want to call it, name TBC. And yours, Hepsi, is one of the best I've seen.
Oh, thank you very much.
but my point was, we were talking about the manufacturers and using the UK manufacturers. Now that's become a key part of your values piece, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, not only was it kind of like an economic decision with regards to short runs and being able to get products in on time, it's also... the quality, UK manufacturing is by far better than other countries. When you work with companies or manufacturers in your country or in the UK, when they say that they're going to be printing on FSC certified paper, that they are using vegetable ink, so that they're, how they get rid of their waste is done in a certain way, pretty much can trust that that's going to happen. I was having a bit of a imposter syndrome today and yesterday, actually, about the whole like our values and things. I was thinking, oh, am I greenwashing stuff? But actually, I kind of like had a look back and was like, actually, no, we do as much as we can do for a micro business. And there's always a bit of a balancing act between like how much something costs versus what we can do as a business for the like environment. And then there used to be a whole thing about like just sending things out in reused cardboard. It was like, oh no, you can't do that for a brand. But well, actually, if you justify why you're doing it and you're reusing something, it's absolutely fine. When I were packaging my mugs, I reuse all of our packaging because it's just packaging. It's just protecting the stuff, the mug. It's in a nice box. It's in a cardboard box with a nice branded sticker. The stuff inside it is just making sure that the mug's safe. And if it is, if people receive it with bubble wrap, it's because it's been sent to us. But bubble wrap, we never buy bubble wrap. And like all our cards are in a compostable cello bag, so that can be done. Everything, the whole environment and the kindness economy is really important to us.
You made so many good points during that bit. I'm trying to decide which bit to go into first of all. I think for me, it was, you know, you said you feel like you've been greenwashing, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel that, but at least, you know, A, you're not, from what I've seen of what you're doing, you're certainly not greenwashing. But also, I think a lot of businesses are equally guilty of green hushing, which is they're doing similar things to you, but they're just not bothering to tell anyone about it. And like you said about the packaging, if you've explained, if people know your values are lowering waste, reusing rather than going to the point of recycling and all of this, then they know that their parcel might be in slightly weird cardboard, or it might be a reused Jiffy bag, or it might be whatever it is, but that's because that's the right thing to do. And you made it clear that that's why you're doing it. So I think it's an example of why it's so key to tell your customers about it. And you mentioned to me before we started recording that you'd just been recording a video for social media about how often someone can reuse your gift wrap, which I thought was brilliant, because actually, it's highlighting a key value and the quality of the product, but it's actually saying, keep reusing it, reuse it, reuse it. What led you to create that video?
So gift wrap for us is a really important product. Kind of, we loved as kids, like seeing presents wrapped in wrapping paper, and like, it just kind of like creates an energy of mystery and excitement and anticipation. So like gift wrap from that point of view was really important for us to create. And then we again wanted to do something about paying it forward. So in 2018, we created our Gift Wrap That Gives campaign, where we donate 10% of our profits to charity from the sales of our gift wrap. So gift wrap kind of like is becoming a real kind of beast in itself. So we've got the why we wanted to do it, then we've got the paying it forward, it had to be recyclable, and then it's on really high quality paper. And I was just thinking about, again, the environment and stuff, and thinking, well, actually, I can reuse this loads. Like, there's people saying, oh, you can get a piece of wrapping paper and you can recycle it because it's not got plastic in it, and it can just go straight in the recycling. Well, yeah, if you take out off all of the like sellotape, that's fine. So I'd just done a video on how to wrap without using sticky tape, so it can go into the recycling without you having to think. And then I was like, wow, actually, we can reuse this a lot. And I've always like tried to reuse gift wrap from many birthdays and Christmases, just probably because I'm a bit stingy. But our gift wrap, I just noticed how the quality, I could fold it, and it wouldn't tear. And if it's, even when it's scrunched up, if you put a low iron on it, it will like flatten out and look great. And I just thought people should reuse it. It's giving a gift, which is great. And if you've bought our gift wrap, you've also donated to charity. And then if you spread the word that you can reuse it, it's going to be really good for the environment. So it's kind of like loads of ticks, really.
It makes me think of that joke. I know we have it in the UK. I don't know if we have overseas. So listeners, I hope you have this in your country as well, where there's always someone you know who has the joke that every year they give X person the same card. Or the same fiver goes backwards and forwards. And it's no longer legal tender, but it's been going backwards and forwards for 20 years or something like that. And I can see people, you know, in kind of 5 years' time going, oh, the Sprouts wrapping papers back out again. How many years is this? You know, and almost making little marks. How many, we've managed to get 7 years out of this one. But I think it, you know, it makes it a bit fun, doesn't it? And it's, there's so much which we can encourage customers to do with our products, which are fun and which also are the right thing to do.
Yeah, and it just makes sense, doesn't it? Like going to, nobody bats an eyelid when you go to a charity shop and buy a secondhand piece of clothing. So actually, paper's tough. It's quite robust. And if it's quality paper like ours, it can be reused. Like, don't just let it sort of like be used for one magical moment. Make it be used for lots, because it can be.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Getting an online business off the ground isn't easy. So if you find yourself working late, tackling a to-do list that's a mile long with your fifth cup of coffee by your side, remember, great email doesn't have to be complicated. That's what Klaviyo is for. It's the email and SMS platform built to help e-commerce brands earn more money by creating genuine customer relationships. Get started with a free account at klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. Are you building a new site, replatforming? Are you frustrated with your existing tech stack? Then you need to take a look at Wix e-commerce. They have over 700,000 active stores selling worldwide, each of whom can manage it all from a single dashboard. The Wix suite of features enables you to do so much without increasing your workload, whilst keeping the customer experience spot on so that those conversions just go up. Find out more today at wix.com/e-commerce/website and join over 700,000 active stores using Wix's advanced online storefront features. That's wix.com/e-commerce/website.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, Hepsi, I love this section, as you know, because you're one of our listeners. But I do love this section because it gives all of us some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. So Hepsi, are you ready for the top tips?
Oh, I think so.
Listeners, the people who always seem to be under the most pressure when we go into this are those who regularly listen to the podcast. They're always the most nervous. Okay, Hepsi, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Okay, the last book that I just read, which was Contagious by Jonah Berger. Apologies if I've mispronounced his name. Amazing, really interesting about how products go viral and how you create interest in your product. And it's not all about money. And it totally fueled the fire in my belly. It's really easy to read.
I'm thinking quite possibly that's why we ended up, you created the video of the wrapping paper.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those.
It's all coming together in my head right now. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Email. I think personally, it probably doesn't get the press it deserves in our little business. However, whenever I do like our KPIs on at the end of the month, it's like always at like 30% of revenue. And we use Klaviyo as a and the automations and stuff like are brilliant. Like and then we do a campaign once or twice a week, depending on time of year. But yeah, definitely email. And it just means that our whole tone of voice is going directly to our customer who has signed up to us, so we know that they are interested in us, rather than kind of like chucking it out on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, to just in case someone's gonna find us.
Excellent. I'm always up for a tip on email. Okay, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Okay, there's two things that kind of go hand in hand. So we use Asana as a kind of project-based software, so we both know what we're doing, in a way that's probably been influenced by focusing on one thing. So running a business, you can be a jack of all trades and you can be incredibly distracted from anything, and actually you need to focus on a task. So us using Asana, we go onto it, we know what we're doing, and then we kind of like close our phone down, close emails down, and focus on that task that we're doing so that we know that we're doing it, and then move on.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Asana too. The growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
To go niche, to stay in your niche. So we as a business, I think, are too broad, and we will be like narrowing ourselves down. And it's quite a common thing to kind of just keep adding, when actually you need to kind of look at it from above and go, actually, that's massive. You can't survive like that. So to be niche and focus on what you do and do it really well.
There's been an awesome example of that recently here in the UK. There's a company called Bravissimo who do bras for the larger busted lady, which I think I'm allowed to say. An Apple podcast won't have a go at me. And they expanded into a whole range of clothing. And this year they've cut out all the clothing and have gone just back to the bras because they're refocusing on their piece. And if anyone from Bravissimo is listening, I would love you to come on the podcast and talk about it. So Hepsi, thank you for giving me the opportunity to tie that in. But yeah, it's we have to test things, but then we have to remember to bring ourselves back into focus.
And another thing is to look at the data as well. Like because we're a creative business, we've been led by our hearts quite a lot. And in doing so, that means that our kind of like product offering has got big. And actually, if you can bear to look at the data, it can tell you quite a lot of things. And I always thought, oh, I'm a creative person, I don't want to look at spreadsheets and data, and it makes me feel a bit sick. But actually, I've learned to embrace data. And in doing that, it's kind of fueled the creativity, so that it's what we're creating is right, rather than just our kind of heart or gut feel. I mean, we still obviously have a gut feel for stuff, but we know what we're doing is correct, rather than going, oh yeah, we sold like X amount of those like a year ago. And then you have a look and it's like, oh no, you didn't. Like,
yeah.
What?
The brain lies. Memory lies. Hepsi, it's been fascinating chatting to you about your business. Before we say goodbye, could you let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social, please?
Yeah, you can find us, if you're in the UK, you can find us on our website, which is marthaandhepsi.com. International customers can find us on Etsy at Martha and Hepsi. All social media, we are Martha and Hepsi, the word. And if people would like to sign up to our email, you will receive 10% off your first order.
Oh, excellent. Not even a code to remember there, people. Just go and sign up to their emails. Hepsy, thank you so much, as I say, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. So thank you so much for sharing so much of how you're going about building your business.
Thank you for having me.
So a whole load of, I think, inspiration there around some of the many things you can do to embrace both the path to net zero and the kindness economy side of things. And the way in which Martha and Hepsy have gone about doing it just with their gift wrap product, you know, they've got, they're having it manufactured in the UK, which keeps the carbon footprint low. They are creating a product that can be reused, and they're shouting about that on social media and using it to grow the virality of the product and to sell more. They made it perfectly recyclable, so there's no foil and that kind of stuff on it. And then they've also added kind of the kindness economy, the goodwill element, where 10% of the profits get given to charity. They obviously have the bigger piece on the business of what they're doing, everything UK manufacturing, and they've got other elements that they're playing at. But they started essentially with one big kind of hero line and found a way to do that. And then they're going to be rolling it out across other areas of the business. You can start at one point and shout about it and make an impact before you need to think you have to do everything. You know, the point she was making around, it's easier to manufacture with manufacturers in your own country because there's so many fewer checks you have to do. There's easier trust. And I think that's the same in any home territory, because you can get that anywhere in the world, that level of product quality, etc. But the due diligence is so much more onerous. So as a small business, it makes a lot of sense to keep it super simple and super easy by doing your own business in your own country. But of course, that reduces the carbon impact of products being shipped all over the place. Plus some really great tips there on what to outsource and what to insource, what to do yourself and how to deal with it all. So I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Hepsy, and we may well get them back again next year to see where they've gone next. I know they've got some big plans in this space. You can get your hands on the notes from today's show, including the top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.podcast. There you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the many, many things I share to help you improve your business. It's nearly the end of the year, which means it's nearly time for our annual January growth series. Yes, yet again, we are going to be releasing 2 episodes a week for you throughout January, each one focused on a different way you can grow your sales in 2022. Several of them are already recorded and they are sounding awesome. You really do need to tune in for these. Now, of course, it's also going to include our famous expert episodes, the 2 mashup episodes where I get the great and the good from the industry to share their key lessons from 2021 and their top tip for 2022. So let us help you plot your path to greatness and put us in your diary for both Mondays and Thursdays throughout January. If you want reminders from us, then just make sure you're subscribed to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast in your podcast player of choice, and visit ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast to sign up to our email marketing. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses. So if you know someone this show can help, please, please ask them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week. Keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.